Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now Joel, starting off with U.S. equity markets, because quite frankly, kind of across the board, stuff is a bit slow today. But I think the one underlying theme that we could be starting to see here in the markets continues to be rotation, but now more importantly, rotation back into the growth stocks and even big tech. This is, I think, a big deal because big tech growth really can lead these markets higher, especially with all this capital floating around these markets. And quite frankly, you look at some of the big tech stocks and they've been sideways for 6 to 10 months. Amazon's been sideways for 10 months now. Joel, what do you think? Are we seeing this rotation again back into big tech and growth?
Yeah, for sure. Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me on this Tuesday. You know, there's always rotation in the markets, and I think the move with the Fed last week, standing pat on interest rates, gives you more favorable for growth stocks and for tech stocks. And the reason is they, they have debt, and they need, to service their debt. They also borrow money to expand their company. So lower interest rates is definitely a positive for them. For Apple, as far as Apple was concerned, you had a 24-day trading range between 122.5 and 128.5. So you had a technical breakout, and that surpassed that to currently trading above 132. You had a driver with Amazon, the Prime Day, moved up very quickly through the bottom of its trading range, almost to the top of its trading range, a typical pattern ahead of Prime Day. Now you're 50 points away from the all-time high. When you're looking at Amazon and you look at that 11-month consolidation, are you just looking like at a caged animal here? If, in fact, it could clear 3,500, could you just have a major breakout after a trading range? Google and Facebook have just been steady Eddie. Google's up 44% for the year. Just doesn't go down when, maybe has a little bit pullbacks when, they talk about, antitrust and some of their practices. But they're churning out. They make all kinds of money and just not talked about that much because it's such a high-priced stock. Same thing with Facebook. Facebook's had big institutional accumulation at the 250, 260 area, and it doesn't look like they're unloading yet. So sell the banks, sell the value stocks. It all went into tech.
Well, hey, Joel, let me ask you this then. It sounds like you see an overall shift from where we were at the beginning of the year in the growth stocks going over to value stocks the last few months. Now a shift back over to growth. If tech is big and if the FANG stocks are blowing and going, is that the direction you see things going, tying into this reopening trade, more of a pile back into growth again?
Yeah, also you talked about the reopening trade. That's another trade that's come off substantially. Some of the airlines.
The growth tech, like the mega cap growth tech, which is now after being stagnant picking up, but also that other the other growth tech, the Cathie Wood tech. I mean that got absolutely annihilated. And whether or not they're ever going to grow into their valuations, like your Fastly's, your Datadog's, or some of these other stocks, if anything, they could have a technical retracement that could take them back up to decent levels. So, I would say the tech, that's what led us out of the abyss last year, and that's what could lead another leg up higher in the market.
So, Joel, you even alluded to it early on there, is that low interest rates help tech because they borrow a lot of money. But is that the takeaway even from last week? Because the market initially after that Fed meeting shifted a bit more to thinking that the Fed would be more hawkish. But that doesn't correlate with tech and what helps tech. So is the market just, reanalyzing what the Fed had to say, or just a completely different outlook?
I don't think the market knows what the hell to think of the comments coming out of the Fed, because you know, if you listen, I mean, he was a tad more hawkish, and that did hit the market a little bit. But what really hit the market was Bullard's statements of the St. Louis Fed that said, "Hey, you know, we're looking for this change in interest rates in later in 22 as opposed to 23." So. And it's weird, and you know, the banks sold off ahead of it, and then they actually rallied on the Fed day. So, I mean, you could just scratch your head trying to figure out how it's going to move with this Fed speak, and also with Jerome Powell speaking today. But it seems like it's such an anticipatory market that when you wait to react to the news, it's almost too late. Or you always have to be like a contrarian's contrarian. But overall, if you look at it, what happened on Friday, you know, still rates are going to be lower for longer. There's no denying that. So trying to make heads or tails out of the actual statements is difficult. But reading the tape can be difficult, too. But, man, it's these anticipatory moves. It's the reactions, you know, the day after. I think that what you have to pay more attention to.
Well, Joel, let me ask you then, as far as the Fed and deciphering the Fed speech, they did seem to indicate, at least a few of the Fed chiefs at the powwow seemed to indicate they wanted to hike rates a little earlier, but everybody knows they really can't because of the huge debt load that everybody's covering. But if they don't start raising them soon, like other countries are doing, and like we're seeing other central banks doing, then don't you think they're going to be under pressure from other people saying, hey, if things are so rosy in the economy, why are we not dialing this back a little bit, raising rates? And if inflation starts to run hot, may they be forced to run rates? And could that put a cap on the markets?
A couple different things here. I mean, things are hot right now. And, you know, you're looking at this, the growth that we're seeing, but it's basically coming from zero, right? We had an economy that was shut down for a couple different months. So, you know, the reopening trade and people going to stores and restaurants and stuff, you know, is that sustainable? You know, are we going to see those same kind of numbers a year from now? I don't think so. I don't think so. So I think they're taking the stance that, yeah, things are looking rosy right now, but they're really under peculiar, not normal circumstances. So that's what you're seeing with that. And also, I mean, I'm sure you guys noticed that, you know, just as, you know, Jerome said he was getting a little, you know, maybe a little bit more hawkish and he was backing off the transitory tone. I mean, commodities got killed, you know, lumber's had coming down. A lot of the grains came down too. And you can look at that and say, hey, it was just supply issues, right? Things were shut down, you know, couldn't transport, couldn't process, didn't have the workers. So there you go. So you had immediate, you know, demand, but the supply wasn't there from being offline. So just as, you know, Jerome said he was going to get a little tighter, you know, on the a little more hawkish, the commodities came to the rescue, and we all know it took the gold market with it. You know, I get bullish. I want to break out at 1900, and then, you know, you get down here to 1750, 1770, and you're thinking, holy moly, it's got to hold. And that's where you're at. It's just, I say it again, trading range, 1750, 1900. I just wish I could trade it that way.
Yeah, the fact of the matter, too, Joel, is that there was a rotation trade into the commodities. That's when a lot of tech was flat, right? And the mood shifted to a bit more of that goods, hard goods, I guess, trade. And now it's rotating back. This has been the theme in these markets throughout this whole pandemic trade. And either way you look at it, more money's in the markets, and it just continues to push different markets higher after a bit of a sideways consolidation. Let's move over to Bitcoin. Chad, bring up Bitcoin here for us, because boy oh boy, it's been weak here, but it might be reversing a little bit today. Let's get into that.
Hey Joel, no doubt Bitcoin and the cryptos have been quite volatile. I mean, ever since they launched in 2009, Bitcoin's been a roller coaster where it'll go up to skyrocketing heights and then come crashing down 70-80%. So it could be that we are just now seeing another pullback into that range where it takes off. But the bigger question people are interested in is, What about the policy decisions like China? If other countries were to follow suit, if the US or Europe was to follow suit and say, hey, you know, no more crypto trading because they want to do their own currency, could that be a lights out moment for the cryptos where they finally do go down, even though there's millions of people participating in it worldwide?
Yeah, it's a couple great points there. In fact, I did see that that Sweden is developing or looking to develop their own cryptocurrency. The policy thing, I mean, is definitely an overhang. And I think if you're investing in Bitcoin, it's something that you gotta, you know, you gotta keep in the back of your mind. China, you know, can do what they want. I think in the United States, I think you're going to get, you know, a lot more backlash if you, you know, try and implement something like that. But the reason, I mean, I think that there's a bigger fundamental reason here why Bitcoin may not, you know, scale the kind of heights it did before, is because there's like new kids in town, right? There's Ethereum, there's Ripple. Before, when you had that run up to 20K, yeah, there was some of these other currencies, but now there's like a, I don't know, 500, 1,000 other currencies that people can invest in. So it's not, you know, it's not the only game in town. So I think that is as much of a threat to the, you know, just the competition from the other currencies as the government shutdown. Like I said, China can do what China wants to do. I think you get severe more backlash in the United States if something to happen to that. And then, you know, the last thing is, you know, people, while it, you know, it's a store of value, it's gold, but the people that talk about the, you know, the value and it going to, you know, triple, you know, six digits or whatever, they're talking about is, you know, using it in transactions. And I just think it's just too volatile of an instrument to, you know, be using, you know, on a transaction basis. I mean, you know, you did something on Friday, you pay for it on Monday. So, you know, as a store of value, yeah, but as a transactable currency, I don't know.
Fair enough, Joel. You're not alone in that aspect. But you know what? It seems like the dark cloud hanging over cryptos is always government policy or intervention. But until we see, I guess, the U.S. and even maybe some more Western countries jump on board, it's still a very good trading vehicle for those who like volatility. The question is to just how much are institutions involved in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies? Do you see any new products coming to the market that even further helps institutions enter the market? Or do you think institutions already have gotten positioned, the ones that will get positioned?
Yeah, I mean, if they did, you know, they got in and, you know, it had the run up. So you don't know, you know, what they're going to do with it. I mean, there's some exchange traded, you know, ETFs, the GBTC, but I think once again, that just adds to the competition. It's definitely, you know, it's mentioned more and more by the banks. It's mentioned more and more by, institutions as being part of their holdings. So yeah, that could definitely, you know, making it, a bona fide asset class. Yeah, I mean, you've seen more of that, more of a trend towards that and away from a lot of the negativity that you had, you know, earlier on. So, yeah, I'm sure there's structured products out there. I mean, if anyone's buying the dip, you know, on these kind of moves and these kind of washout moves, it would be the institutions and the banks that are trying to accumulate on weakness as opposed to buying into strength.
All right, Joel, great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks, as always, for your time. And it does seem like we are getting a little bit more into these summer doldrums as trading is a bit lighter out there. And besides last week, volatility has been a bit less. But last week, man, oh, man, that volatility really hit the commodities. And right now, let's just see where kind of a bottom is formed and, well, if we truly are in for a slow summer. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. I'll post a link below to the Benzinga website where everyone can listen to the replays of the pre-market prep show. Chat with you next week, Joel. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.